Well, this is the November 13th, the last morning lecture of the first group. This morning, I'd like to give you first a few tips on your own auditing, and therefore I'll probably point rather than put your names on tape. Excuse me for pointing. Nearly everybody here has picked up in speed and alertness in auditing very markedly. One person here came to me very early in the course and wept because this person was very, very sure that this person would never be able to audit under any circumstance. I think this person's changed the mind on this. Okay. And a couple of more early on the course had sort of the idea that I'll tell him later. I had sort of an idea there that the thing to do was to talk in sweet, sympathetic terms at all times to all pre-clears. And this was extremely bad. And got him off that wavelength and shifted a bit with a little more versatility. And that is the essence, of course, of all auditing, is a versatility of voice tone. Not to match the voice tone of the pre-clear, to make the pre-clear match the voice tone of the auditor. A good auditor can actually, with voice tones, we're talking about the wonderful thing called language and how it didn't depend upon the past in any way, shape, or form, actually. A voice tone and a method of address to the pre-clear actually can bring the pre-clear right on up the tone scale, all the way up. When I'm auditing, I'm generally pitching my voice tone one emotion above the PC. One or one half an emotion above the PC. It's actually quite mechanical. When I'm auditing you folks, I don't try to put on much of a good show. I just keep leading the pre-clear. Now, that's what you do. You lead the pre-clear a little bit in speed, and you lead the pre-clear a bit in tone. You take somebody who is in apathy and you try to audit them in a tone of enthusiasm, and you're not going to get any results. You're going to get results, but they're going to be reverse results. Now, let's take enthusiasm. Enthusiasm does a theta bop, by the way. If you ever want to put a pre-clear on an E-meter, any pre-clear, any of you on an E-meter, you will see that with the word enthusiasm, and even the thought of the emotion enthusiasm, that you get something that very closely resembles a theta pop. Very peculiar. It is not a desirable emotion in the eyes of most people below it on the band. Even conservatism thinks of enthusiasm as the perfect horror. The one thing from which he must walk away. That's right. A conservative person listens to somebody being enthusiastic and they go, not quite sure about that. And the reason for this is enthusiasm is a false emotion. It's uninverted fear. And it's a demonstration, I'm not afraid. And there's nothing to be afraid of and nobody should be afraid in the future. And people really wince under it. Now, up above that, we have some much, much better emotions to use if you're going to just lead the whole band. And one of them, as they have found out in the East many, many years since, is apathy on the tall top band, which is, of course, serenity. Unimpressed. Complete, unimpressed, undisturbed serenity. Everything going to hell and complete serenity, the emotion with which it is met. And this, for your very, very low tone preclear, you see this used a lot in religion. This, for your very low tone preclear, is easily the very best emotion, very best, because the people can understand it all the way up. It has a harmonic on every band. And you can just take this serene, undisturbed attitude toward the case and so on, and you'd be surprised how the preclear leads. Just fantastic. Now, once in a while, it's a great temptation, enormous temptation, to go into something else. And that is into the wise man act. And nothing is more tempting than to become a very wise man to a person who has been indoctrinated in mysticism. Nothing is more tempting. Because it's the one aesthetic sort of an emotion. They pick that out as an aesthetic. And you get very broad and very grand about what they should do about things at large and talk indefinitely and with many hidden meanings, you see. And it practically spins anybody who uses it. Now, there are many cults, churches, and temples that have survived, however, the last many thousand years simply by using this emotion of the wise man. This is not really an emotion. It is a sort of an overbearing, slightly, just faintly accusative superiority. And it is, well, you know you're really to fault and to blame for the whole thing, sort of thing. But it has an aesthetic in it. I'm not going to show that to you now. It's too easy to copy.
Is that on the only one computation?
On what?
The wise man act?
The wise man? No, the wise man is pretending to be everybody. He has summed up they and is being the accusative they of the entire society, looking at the only one who is, unfortunately, a sinner. Now, you know that you got yourself into this condition. We've tried to help you. But you've gotten yourself into this. I'm not giving it the right pitch because, as I said, it's too easy to copy. We've given you every opportunity to straighten out your life, the church, state, all the psychotherapy, us, all of us have done our best and so forth. And after all these years of test, trial, and close observation by us, you're still failing. Now, you must remedy this situation. The best way for you to remedy this situation is to be good and be pure and to realize that all these things wrong with you, you have done to yourself. I'm not going to give you the emotion that goes with this because, no kidding, it's a real can. You kind of have to roll up your sleeves and drape a white robe around your shoulders and enclose inside the robe a restrained wrath of God to really get this right. But every now and then, somebody will turn up who is unmanageable on all bands. Believe me, that one kills them. Now, nobody here. It actually, once in a great while, will swing somebody in line. But believe me, it sure keys them in across the boards. This is the between lives emotion. And that is why it is so successful here on Earth. It's a very recent electronic, you see. It's really wonderful. Now, on auditing, nobody has been doing this in this unit. But in this unit coming up, we have one who runs entirely on this computation. There's one person in there that runs entirely on it. And he diagnoses every preclear by the significance of what the preclear is trying to do to cover up his guilt. When you get off on that basis as an auditor, you would have enormous success. Just you could play around the temple with your whip just endlessly and have an enormous success, and everything that came to you would continue to be ill or merely in an hypnotic sort of a of an ecstasy or something of the sort, which wears out pretty soon unless you keep pumping them up. And you wind up eventually with a number of people that you're pumping up all the time. And your hands on that tire pump get pretty calloused. This is the modus operandi practically of every religion on the face of earth today, where it has been successful. So there is one there that one can really lay the society out with, but it doesn't make people well. And if you're going to take on all the burdens of the society, then you'd better take on the wise man attitude. If you're going to take on all the burdens of society and take them from your own. Because this is all society really responds to broadly and easily. Sheen is not good at this. He is a faint shadow of what it could be. Fortunately. All right. Now, there's an auditor attitude that's very easy to fall into. And let me warn you against it just upon this basis. It's very successful, and you wind up with everybody consulting you and being pumped up by you, and they're on the telephone at least once a day to ask what their decision should be. And this is always answered by, well, we have carefully weighed you, and you are still found wanting, but you must demonstrate some small spark of initiative in this matter, even though we know that you're probably going to fail, but you have all of our sympathy and compassion anyway. Real tangled this thing is. An auditor who simply looks at the preclear, fixes up the preclear as a somebody that can be patched up, and will let the preclear win. He gets results. As far as tone is concerned, if you lead him a half or one band on the tone scale, why, he will always get communication with the preclear. Now, do you know that there are preclears that you can only lead by being slightly more active than they are? That is, say, your catatonic skits will actually become annoyed after a while if you lie down on a bed like their bed, and stretch out just exactly as they are stretched out, but you insist on scratching yourself once in a while. You are not playing the game properly with the catatonic schizophrenia. You are leading them half a tone. You want to scratch yourself griefily. And once in a while, sigh deeply. And after a while, they'll find out that there's something happening. There is. Of course, you get a double terminal discharge. Match terminal discharge. Frieda Fromm Reichmann. All due respect to the fact that she is, unfortunately, for herself, a psychiatrist. Because there isn't any reason under the sun why she should be in that particular field. Because she's completely lost in this field. She goes around with the mantle of an empress. And at any moment, on treating insanity and so forth, will do exactly what, but with a little more oomph, exactly what the psychotic is doing. First thing you know, they say, "What is the matter with you?" or some such thing. Psychotic picks some dung off the floor and flings it against the wall. Why, Frieda Fromm Reichmann will immediately pick some dung off the floor and fling it against the wall, but harder. She has great success, but this is entirely due, and it's a success which merely breaks in the band from psychosis into neurosis. But this great success is entirely due to her own complete inability to be sullied. It would be utterly impossible to sully or stain or mess up Frieda Fromm Reichmann because of her personal presence, and yet this person can step into a cell with some raving psychotic and do the most incredible things. This is a certain elan that permits this sort of thing to happen. When an auditor has achieved that type of balance, so this has not happened. So it happened. He's in real good shape. And boy, can he process lots of people. It's without any trouble at all. Elon. You're able to lead this tone, but the pre-clear knows very well that you are not that tone. Let me give you an idea of this. Sarah Bernhardt once had an act whereby she, I think, said a sad farewell, and there was just one hand showing on the stage. One hand was all that was displayed in the scene, if I remember rightly. And this hand expressed grief. And it really did express grief. And the audience would practically bog on this parking scene. In the play, she had, I think, I may have my personalities mixed in this story, but this was the way it was told to me, and I never checked up on it. And she had a son in the war, and she was playing the role of a person whose son is killed in the war, and she receives this telegram announcing his death. And that is the sad farewell sort of a thing. She had a son who was in the war, and one night, just before the performance, she received a telegram announcing his death, which was the play. And she went on that night and was booed by the audience for the insincerity of her performance. It tells you that to command, you must be able to hold up a mock-up, not a complete agreement. Boy, was she in agreement with that role that night. Well, here, then, in this civilization, you have announced all over the place, he who would make me weep must first weep himself. Boo-hoo. Play after play during the 30s was stressing the fact that, and after she had all this suffering, she had a great singing voice. You remember that theme? It was sort of slithering and creeping through everything. This is the purest balderdash that any artist ever thought of. He who would make me weep must be himself above weeping. So any time as an auditor you are tempted to believe that your sincerity and utter belief and complete feelingness for the pre-clear is necessary to make the pre-clear well, you've just signed your own death warrant. As long as you can put a mock-up in a chair during the auditing or stand up in front of a crowd and express the desirable emotion and know yourself that you are simply expressing a desirable emotion, the amount of success you will have with the pre-clear is quadrupled easily. The auditor who was really in grief, trying to audit an apathetic pre-clear, doesn't do anything very much at all. If he succeeds, he will simply bring the pre-clear up to grief. He actually will pull tricks on the pre-clear, make it sure that the pre-clear doesn't rise any higher than his own tone. A fellow's confidence, in order to return self-determinism to one or to many, his self-confidence, as far as his own self-determinism is concerned, must be very, very closely approaching the infinite. Otherwise, he finds that he is getting his whole beingness just kicked to pieces, the like of which nobody ever heard of. Any great religious leader has expressed enormous compassion and has felt completely detached. That's the only kind of compassion that registers. Why? Why is this? Well, it's an assault upon the very, very most intimate theme of the messed universe. The compassion is mocked up, and he knows it. He is putting emotion into something and knows he is. if he is really in grief, which is to say how they'd like to have people be if they're being sincere, if he's really in grief and he's trying to process people or do things for people, he's going to be operating simply on stimulus response. And of course, that stimulus response, one can't think. So, is the environment determining your emotion, or are you determining the emotion of the environment? As an auditor, it is of the essence that you be able to put the emotion into the environment, not the environment put the emotion into you. Now, that's not a very difficult thing to do, because we have a drill. And let me assure you that after you have been processing some pretty clear, hour after hour, you've been watching a fixed stimulus response mechanism. It's not going to sneak up and bite you unless you yourself let it. Do you have to solve your all of the significant computations upon the case and restimulation and all this sort of thing and so on and so on and so on and go on? No. By the way, I might as well give you the reason I'm doing this, telling you this. Because the biggest bugaboo an auditor has is restimulation, and it has only during the past few days shown up in this class as an excuse why somebody has to get processed. Now, I'm going to just knock you to pieces on that whole deal right now. You don't have to be processed to be an auditor. That's right. As long as you yourself know enough about it. As long as you yourself know enough about what you are doing to do the drills necessary occasionally to rehabilitate your continuing command of the situation. Because any time you as an auditor think you need lots of processing because you've processed pre-clears, is simply that you have admitted as an auditor that the pre-clear is putting the emotion into the situation, that you as the auditor are not putting the emotion into the situation. And so you have permitted yourself to be taken down the road by the motorcycle. And the time and the way to change that and so forth, you can do it in the briefest space of time imaginable. You can get better and better and better at this. And this is the drill. You change the emotion in messed objects and feel it back. And you just run up the tone scale and down the tone scale and up the tone scale and down the tone scale. And occasionally when you are driving, you do this horrible thing to yourself. You get the beautiful dependability of all those anchor points out there. And get their predictability. And get how beautifully necessary they are. And how they all know you're there. And then, by the way, put emotion into that whole environment that you see. Boy, if you just do that through the line, you become at length so expert on it, you say, theta clearing, what's all this technology we're using? It's very silly. All it is, you put emotion in this environment, and you can see it, and it gets solid and clear, and you feel it. And what do you know? I'm in command of the situation. It's not command of me. Nothing could be in command of me. You think that's very silly. Have I ever felt any emotion put into me? Yes, one time I ran an engram. Yeah, but I consented to have the emotion put into me at the time I ran the engram. I said, let's see now, we've got to run the apathy out of this, so therefore, let's feel apathetic so we can match that and run the apathy out of that. Actually, running an engram is only match terminaling with a facsimile. It's the individual as a thetan, match terminaling with a facsimile. And when he does it well, they erase. Well, why didn't he just stand back and say, boom, there goes the engram? I've seen some of the most gorgeous engrams explode over the last year. I mean, I've seen a set of fact ones. Do you know that I found in a bank one time that I was looking into one night, I found a bank that had over 100,000 individual fact one facsimiles. They were all stacked up one on another, so I finally counted a unit of them. And then I took the unit just by changing, there's a trick known as changing a time wavelength by which you hit other times. You see, if a person runs slower and slower, he always has his time wavelength on tack. So if you run faster and faster, you actually can match your earlier periods. It's hard to put into language because it's never been described. All right, you just get this, and you look at these various lines. By the way, a preclear stuck in a facsimile just lost his ability to vary his wavelength. And you do that by making it blue and green and pink mock-ups and changing emotion. And then I looked across this whole bank, and I thought, gee, this would be fun. And so I took the first one I could find in the thing and exploded it. And found out it didn't explode hard enough. So I mocked up a real good one. You understand this? I exploded the actual facsimile there, you see, and it didn't concatenate on up the whole bank. It was just a big package, is all it was. All of them tacked on real solid. So I mocked up the doggondest, toughest, energy contented Pac-1 I could think of, see? I just put it together, and oh boy, you know. And then I made it real aesthetic. Made a real aesthetic back one. And got it real solid, real good, see? Made that energy real solid. And held it back like this and took a couple of passes, and then, bam, let it go into that bank. And boy, there was an explosion that was a roar around there that woke a couple of people up in the house. It was real loud. Now, this sounds maybe very weird to you, but look at that. Good God, you're suddenly going to go into the bank and handle banks that have things like this in them? Well, you certainly better know how to put the other emotion or the wrong emotion into a facsimile rather than agree with it so that you can erase it. Here's a matter of agreeing with the facsimile. Agreement is the medium ground between, here, you see, one is taking the motorcycle down the road, which means he's in command with the motorcycle. Then he is partly taking the motorcycle down the road while the motorcycle is partly taking him down the road, and that's agreement. And that is not bad, except that is on the doorstep of the next stage, which is he's being taken down the road by the motorcycle. So you go into agreement with the pre-clear in order to get communication. You have immediately assumed a somewhat dangerous point, see? And it's very easy then to slide over so that the pre-clear is taking you down the time track. Very simple. And in some auditing careers I have examined on this, I have invariably spotted the exact moment when the fellow skidded with what pre-clear, see? Because he's taken on, apparently, all of aberration facsimiles and the entire mess universe for his randomity. Think of that for a moment. The auditor has. Then you see, it's very easy for him to get very wroth with all of this situation and make it more randomity than it is, you see, and set it up as a sort of an automaticity. After a while, it will slide into an automaticity. You get into a point of self-auditing and all kinds of other things happen. But I've always found the exact instant when the fellow stopped taking the motorcycle down the road, and it partly was taking him down the road, and when it wholly began to take him down the road as an auditor. It's easy to find. You can put it on the E-meter. At what moment did you feel that the pre-clear was the one who was establishing the incidents to be run and what was to be done with his case? Such questions as that will show up on the E-meter. You, all of a sudden, you'll start to get a little localization. You'll get more and more bop on certain dates, and then the dates will come down, and you finally get big bops on the thing. That's actually quite an incident. You'll find such things as he all of a sudden felt very tired. The auditor was sitting there. He was doing all right. And the pre-clear had proven very recalcitrant, but had gone off on tangents, on this and that. And all of a sudden, the auditor wanted to go lie down. If the pre-clear customarily was on a couch, the auditor felt that he should go lie down. Of course, he's gone into the perfect parallel at that point with the pre-clear. He wants to lie down while he's processing the pre-clear. Or he wants to sit there with his eyes closed in the same attitude as the pre-clear. He's just exactly at that moment crossed over from partial agreement to being run by the pre-clear. After that, pre-clears did anything they wanted to do, actually, but he kind of kept his finger on it, and sometimes early in the session he'd say, well, we'll do something about it. Well, this is command and control over facsimiles and over bodies. And it's what basically you're trying to solve. Well, in the final analysis, it's command and control over space. And the command and control over space is simply command and control over anchor points. And where one is dependent entirely on other things to be one's anchor points, where he has said the universe is my randomity and I do not own the universe, and all of these anchor points are locating me exactly and I am not locating myself by them, that's the difference between these two things. You go out and run a drill, just drive down a highway, particularly some good, nice road which has lots of traffic on it, or go get in a taxi cab and drive around and think how nice it is for all these anchor points to locate you and to predict where you will be and how dependable and predictable they all are. All of a sudden they'll get soft and solider and solider and solider, and then they kind of go up in smoke, and then you start putting emotion into them, and particularly contempt and ridicule, till you've got the whole environment feeling contempt and ridicule for you, and then the whole environment so disdainful it doesn't even know you're there. And when you can put these emotions freely into the environment, so on, you have a tendency that it just tamper out. Start putting affection in the environment. Feels affection for you. It feels how familiar it is, and so on. You just put that in and take it out and put it in and take it out until you can put it in quantity. Next preacher that sits down in the chair will practically explode out of the back of his head. But don't think for a moment that if an auditor weren't necessary, the preacher wouldn't simply walk away. An auditor is necessary on such a basis, unless some auditor actually knows his business. If an auditor really knows his business, he can actually push himself right straight out of his head. Dead easy. I'm not in my feet, I'm not in my knees, I'm not in my waist, I'm not in the back of my head, and then just start putting emotion into the body, and the body changing the emotion in the body, and running up tone scales and down tone scales, and then feeling various emotions while he's exteriorized, no matter how poorly. And that's my purpose this morning, to fix you up so you don't get stimulated this way. There is the essence of the thing. Anytime you feel it's so sad and so sorry that somebody has had to process somebody for 8 consecutive hours or something like that, and this was terrible and that's very hard on the auditor, you're just getting yourself all set up. It's not hard on an auditor. What is hard on an auditor, of course, is inactivity. He gets minimal activity unless he fits it into his operating schedule. And it was very weird, but there was a chap who was, I think it was PAB5, the one that, that really made several people around the country just furious. Just furious. They really got upset by that PAB. It simply said down factually, we said we're going to take up the auditor's own case. We're going to start from here, and he'd better go and see a doctor, get a checkup, find out there's something wrong with him. And he'd better take a morning walk, and he'd better do this, and he'd better do that, and so forth. And if the guy won't do this, he's simply using processing for a dodge. What do you know? Out of the couple of letters which were raging, a few weeks later, the PAB, by the way, seemed to say that broadly, according to these people, and on rereading it, they found out that it was people whose cases were hanging fire. People who hadn't been able to make much progress on the line or something like that. They were the ones who should have done this. Well, these people raged around on it and probably inverted themselves. You see, they slipped on it. They fought that piece of paper so hard that they found themselves out taking a morning walk. And I got letters from the same two people about 3 weeks later saying, thank you. And one girl wrote in and said an auditor had made her go down and take an examination. And they'd found something very, very peculiar about her case. She was suffering from acute anemia. And the processing didn't have much to do with what was happening, but she didn't have enough iron and so forth in her blood. And so on. And so we were working two ways against the center. She was too weak to be processed. And there wasn't any other remedy being given to this malady. So they'd shot her full of iron shots and pepped her up on vitamins, and the doctor really poured it to her one way or the other, thinking he was the only one in the case, and she'd simply gone back and gotten an auditor, and the case broke, and she exteriorized and was in pretty good shape. There's many ways to go at this problem. But an auditor's inactivity is a difficult problem for him sometimes. It's very irksome. Now, therefore, an auditor should not charge a small amount of money. You find out that it's very bad for anybody. You start practicing treating people free all the time. You think that's going to get you any place? The strange part of it is it's very, very nice to give out charity or something of the sort. But by golly, if you do, you're going to slow down the case. Just like that. You're going to slow down the case. The case does not process as well. So, if you have to give out charity processing and somebody thanks you or something of the sort, you say, well, don't thank me for it. Just let it be known that such processing and so forth, that there are many people who could be processed, and that you have a certain contribution fund. I mean, if you're going to do a lot of free processing, you're not going to practice very professionally. After you process somebody, you say it's a contribution fund, someplace rather that I run or maintain, or I feed Christmas turkeys or something. Somebody will put some money in it. Yeah, it's an odd thing, you see, because he can't give you an anchor point. It actually holds him down. All right, let me give you an anchor point. Send it to a contribution fund. Anything. But a lot of this free processing is good, and a lot more holds itself up because the person can't contribute in terms of an anchor point. So an auditor, when the person won't contribute in terms of an anchor point, the next thing you know, the auditor's getting all bogged down by this person fouling him up by trying to contribute variously, like to the auditor's own case. And all kinds of weird computations come out of this. By not letting a person pay some money for what you're doing for them, you inhibit the person from contributing or getting rid of an anchor point in your direction, or putting an anchor point with you. And people will put an anchor point with you. The number of people who will leave pocketbooks, umbrellas, everything else you can think of in your office or in your home. It's just, they always do it. They just think that's fine. They just want to leave an anchor point with you. And so they do. It's nothing nutty. It's just completely spontaneous. You see, if people didn't have everything so scarce, people would be strewing everything around like mad. You go down the street and you give somebody a $5 bill that he suddenly didn't expect, and he hasn't any place where he'll think for a while, and then he'd go buy somebody a present with it. It doesn't really occur to him. This is not a propitiative level. It just doesn't occur to him that that has to go to a bank unless he's so enslaved by the society that he thinks he has to have anchor points in banks. And banks never going to do him any good. If he gets broke, they won't loan him any money. They'll only loan him money when he's got money, and he doesn't need money then. So the point I'm trying to make is here's an auditor's relationship with a pre-clear is definitely one of anchor points. He starts using pre-clears for his anchor points and concentrating on these things, and he's being surrounded all the time, 24 hours a day, by mesh universe anchor points that he just lets sit there, that are held by something else than himself, as far as he's concerned. These things are being held for him, and they're being handled for him, and there are other anchor points than his, and now pre-clear comes in, and that just caps the whole picture. So you've got now another anchor point that's very random, and we'll choose you out for the randomity as the auditor. So that's just no good at all. So what do you do on this process? You just make sure that this stuff around you here is not regarded by you. I mean by that the lamp in your office and the telegraph pole down on the corner and the cars and buses that go up and down in the street, the noise of which you try to protect your pre-clears from, that these things haven't become others' anchor points. Because when that stuff out there is somebody else's anchor points all the time, why, suddenly a random, very random anchor point lands in front of you, and boy, that's another anchor point because you're trying to return some self-determinism to it. Well, if everything you run into belongs to somebody else, and then this random piece of stuff comes in and sits down, you're practically done right then. Hence this drill. This drill that an auditor should do to keep himself in pretty good shape. In the first place, he ought to get some exercise. He ought to use the body for something sitting around. If he's going to use it at all, the only safe way to handle the body is to work the socks off of it. It's the only safe way to handle money. That's what it's built for. And it's built on that line. It's actually hard and tough. And when you start saying, poor body, it has to work so hard, and all that sort of thing, and it makes me so tired while I'm working with it, and all that sort of thing, right? It just goes to pieces. It actually does. It just practically breaks up. You know, there was one fellow one time that had an office job down in Hollywood that could have been an outdoors job, but he had always avoided going out on locations. And he had made himself the truck, one of the truck dispatchers in the main office. And he didn't even have to walk out of that office on the job. But there was another type of job, which was the same salary job, which took trucks out on location and was in charge of the trucks that went out on the location. And this guy worked like mad. And this fellow came down and we had a big confabulation and so on. And boy, was he really flabby. And he'd been feeling bad, but what he wanted to be treated for was impotence. He was about to lose his wife and so forth, feeling bad about this, and he wanted some processing. Instead of giving him some processing, I sorted into his personal affairs, which is something you shouldn't do, really, and I found out how sedentary this job was, but there was another job he could get simply by asking for it, because nobody wanted this other job. He took it. He sure didn't have any complaints after that. He was walking around with the biceps busting his shirts apart. But for the first couple of 3 weeks, that man would call me up on the telephone and he'd say, "Don't you think this was an unwise decision?" His hands were all lacerated with briars and the locations for Western pictures, you know. Hauling stuff off of trucks and putting up piles of saddles and seeing that drivers didn't get lost someplace else. And then they get this nice, beautiful location. The camera's just got to have this beautiful shot, which is up on top of this hill, you see. And there's a small cabin that's got to be on top of this hill overlooking the valley. Well, it only takes part of a cabin up there, but they throw it up there with a truck. See? The truck gets halfway up, and it is halfway up. Now, what do you do with this truck? It's got all the equipment on it. So you run another truck up to take the equipment off the first truck to lighten it enough so that you can get it out of the rocks. You put it in the second truck, and then it gets stuck. Then you rig cables, you see, around trees, and you drive trucks downhill to pull these other two trucks out so that they can be back downhill. It's real fun handling big stuff like that out in the open country. This guy had no complaints after he'd been doing it for about 3 weeks. Boy, he was strictly mucho hombre. What was the matter with him? The body was certain if it was left to sit still all the time, it was absolutely certain it couldn't survive. And it couldn't survive now on about the third or fourth dynamic. So we just hauled him up perforce. Just hauled the body up perforce so that it knew it could survive on the first dynamic. About 4 or 5 months later, by the way, this fellow got in touch with me, and he was really in good shape, wonderful shape. And he always had a sort of a feeling like other people, you know, they could push him around a little bit, and he could act tough, but he knew they really could push him around. And he got down on location. A couple of drivers had ganged up on him, and they damn near beat his head in, so forth. So he simply picked himself up out of the dirt and beat their heads in, but good. And he was all of a sudden had found out that he'd never been in full charge of his own crew. Never in full charge, because everybody thought that he should consult with them. But he found out that for the week following the fight, nobody had asked to be put his opinion forward on what was going forward at all. And he found out that he owned the whole crew. That's why I bet there really were no complaints after that at home. This is an amazing thing. An auditor is not processing today, is not processing a couple of mechanical gimmicks and a few gadgets and some gadgets. He's actually processing livingness. That's very, very easy, you see, then, for an auditor to go out with wide advice and become the wise man. Very easy. And give this tremendous pieces of advice to people who come to it and alter their lives. And any pre-clear is so willing to be evaluated for, they're just suffering to be evaluated for. Should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? Should I do something else? A great temptation on the part of the auditor to say, "Yes, you nitwit, can't you see that? See? But can't you see that? That you should do? No. Real bum. Real bum. He just takes some of their self-determinism away from them. They've lost too much already. Let them solve their own problems. That's best processing. But an auditor definitely is into the field of livingness. Now, when it comes to a thetan being afraid to handle a body and so having to leave the body at a desk all day, that's just a thetan afraid to handle a body. Of course, you get an enormous deterioration on the part of the body. But all of a sudden, the body realizes there's something kicking it around, but good, see? And it's hauling it across this way and pushing it in that direction and making it go through this. Something that doesn't take any back chat. Every entity quiets down, quiet as a mouse, goes to work. All the cells. By the way, did you ever run a freak beard down to the size of cells and have them inspect the emotional level of cells? There's one of the most interesting experiences you do. The cells are all in there saying, work, 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 work. All we got to do is work, 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 work. Gee, you'll come out of there just dazed. You never saw such activity and such dogged work. Gee, those cells are serious. Well, we have in this matter... If you pick out your preclear to evaluate for him, instead of just running, you see, you start evaluating for him, then you're immediately validating a piece of machinery. See, you're going to validate this piece of machinery, as far as you're concerned, from there on. In other words, you've inherited the preclear's continuing problems. You have not solved something for the preclear. Now you've got a problem, an unfinished problem, walking around in the same society you're walking around in. And that can be deadly. Let me tell you, when I was finding out that I wasn't solving some of the cases that were coming my way and that auditors were having a hell of a time with other cases and so on, and I had to get buckled down and really start solving this stuff as best and fast as I could, I was in for a picnic there for a while. Don't think I wasn't. I caught up with it and straightened it out. Pretty well straight now. Still learning a little bit. But I've learned something about resistive cases. By the way, I better well make a remark on it. The auditor, including me, who would audit a resistive, or that is to say an unchanging case, for more than a half an hour, and find out it's still unchanging, without going and getting the very best steam meter he can lay his hands on and putting it on that case, is a damn fool, including me. Also, the auditor who won't make an assessment of a case the moment he finds out it's even vaguely resisting is also being a damn fool, including me. I get a very grandiose idea about preclears every once in a while, and I say, oh, well, we can wrap that up easily, and wham, wham, and there's nothing to that, and so forth, and because it works out rather constantly that way. And then all of a sudden this fellow turns up and I'll say, well, he'll take a little bit longer. And all of a sudden he's hanging fine. I didn't take an assessment on him. And I'm not running him on an e-meter. That's all that's wrong with his case. And an auditor who won't do this, is being a very foolish fellow. Because he will have failed cases if he does. Any case that I am able to lay my hands on anywhere around, which is unchanging, is simply unchanging because a couple of cardinal rules have been grossly mismanaged. They've just been lost. That is, assess, audit on an e-meter, and don't evaluate. And just because they're appearing resistive, don't depart from your standard procedure. Make more mistakes that way. I had up all the mistakes in auditing that I made in a year. It's a lot of preclears, believe me. And they all sum up under those headings. The mistakes that I made in the earlier 4 or 5 years summed up under that heading, of course, but then we didn't have technologies, and two other headings, the two shuns, evaluation and invalidation. Whenever I'd bust those two, the cases would go to pieces in the long run. But lately, this last year, I can look back to every time anything happened that was wrong with a case. Nothing moved, nothing happened, nothing changed. It was no assessment and no e-meter. And when I did that, goodbye. If a case doesn't change in a very short time, the processes that you're using, and you don't get a marked change on the case. If you're still asking the preclear how he is, in other words, instead of measuring his tone, you're seeing the variation of the needle, which is the only reliable thing you have, actually, unless you're actually looking straight into his head. The preclear is doing one of two things. He's either hung up in a specific incident, the like of which you never heard of. He can't look at it, see? It's a very specific incident, which he can't look at. And slant, or he is lying to you on the ratio of 3 or 4 lies a minute. He's kidding you. He's kidding you. You tell him to do something, and he does something else. And boy, I wish an auditor who is getting a consistent failure on resisting cases would just kind of write that down on the floor or something of an auditing room before he starts auditing. It doesn't spoil your great compassion for this character, because what can spoil that? You're going to put that in a mock-up form. Just put it down there. That's supposed to be insincere in this society. Boy, that's how this universe got it rigged. We got to get in and get serious about all this and so on. The only way they ever feel an emotion is when it's a mocked-up emotion. Anytime you hand out an emotion is when you've mocked it up. And the challenge of somebody who did that is that he's cold, calculating, and insincere. But if he doesn't do that, then he has to depend on the anchor points to give him that emotion, and they don't. Well, that, of course, makes him sincere, but it also kills him. Well, anyway, the auditor just simply put it down on the floor in front of him. If the case doesn't change in the first 10 minutes, it's because the preclear isn't telling you what he's doing. It's almost a truism. A lot of auditors. At one time, it was fabulous. I gave the most rocking chair case you ever ran into in your life to a student auditor in one of the foundations, and I told him to run some straight wire and run a couple of things in the case and keep it up for a couple of days, and he did. And the case came back, and there was no change. So I said, this is a remarkable thing. There's no change in this case. You did those things? Oh, yes, yes. The case behaved well? Yes, yes. The only thing that gave me a clue to it was that the preclear then told his buddy, who promptly came back sneeringly to tell me to show how smart his buddy was, the preclear. He had managed to keep from doing any of the things the auditor had asked at all. Ha! Big joke, but had been able to avoid doing any of them and had managed to utilize the time to run some of the things which needed running. Case no better off. But all right, just on this subject of auditing, there's one present who barrels a case too hard, hits a case too hard, hits a case a little bit beyond endurance, has a tendency to crowd the case too hard. It's almost a use of effort in processing. So just lighten it up and relax. I'll give you the drill to do that. You just get in a waiting room or preferably on a bus. There's somebody else, not those present. There's some stranger. Just drill on the people present, putting an emotion into them. Putting various emotions into them so you can feel it back, without caring whether they notice it or not, until you're perfectly comfortable about the emotional reaction of the preclair until you're comfortable about it. And when you're finally comfortable, just get on a bus or something of the sort and just ride a couple of trips back and forth and just sit there and just put emotions into all these people. Somebody might look at you and so forth, and they would never realize what you were doing. I mean, vaguely, but you look at these people intently if you have to. But just put some emotion in that guy. Until that person, as far as you're concerned, you can feel the emotion back from the person, so on. Because the only manifestation it's showing is that you're trying to press out of the preclear something. And that the way to solve that is to let a body flow freely as it pleases. Until you're willing to let a body flow freely as it pleases, then all of a sudden you'll find yourself able to just lead the body to flow in a tone scale direction as you please it. Good. There's a couple in this course here who, of course, aren't finishing with this unit. So I won't bother to take them up. Two or three have developed a sort of an old hand, offhandedness about processing, and one of them has gone just a hair too far. I'm going to ask you to backpedal on the thing a little bit, and with a type of emotional processing. There is such a thing as regarding a preclear too uniformly. Regarding him too uniformly as a tough preclear, or as a preclear who is just handleable. That's pretty hard for me to state this exactly what this emotion is, but you had a lot of preclears, see, and you've gone on a sawing wood basis. The way I can see it, on a slight sawing wood basis, as far as the preclear is concerned, and it only amounts to this, is you have agreed to take much more time for the case than the case needs to have taken for it. See, just slightly that way. And the way you do this is, again, just start handling cases on a basis of individuals. Get them unblurred. Do a lot of straight wire on three clears you have. Get them unblurred. That's the only thing I can say. You're an excellent auditor. I mean, just don't dive yourself into always processing on the same type of case, regardless of the case. Roger, as he's been to it for a little while, he begins to look at all cases kind of gunshotty, brutally. Not brutally, that you look at cases brutally, you'll get someplace or anything. But they all become cases. Is that right? So just get them out of the category of being cases and get them into the category of people again. That's good advice for almost anybody present. Get preclears out of the category of cases and into the category of people. It's a little bit hard to do because they then insist on acting like preclears. Okay? Good. Anybody who has been auditing for a very long time and who has been very experienced in auditing and so on has something for which I am guilty to go over. They have started with slower techniques and are winding up with faster techniques. And let me reassess what I was just saying there. Let's take a look at the speed of operation of the present technique and use it at its own speed. Don't agree with a slow recovery. Okay? You probably don't feel that's justified. Now, there's one here who simply needs a lot of experience in confronting people. And I'm going to get a hold of a couple of translations that were made of some earlier material, which have the technical words translated. And I'll expect you to come back and get that, because I've been unable to recover it immediately, but it's on its way here, and this will give you an insight into the technical language as retranslated. It's a very good job of retranslation of it, and then I want you to audit some people in your own language, and you will find you immediately recovered your verb.